Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Greg Cosell with us, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Make the right move by choosing Huffaker. Visit them online at thgtn.com, or you can call 833-THG-NASH. Greg, Happy New Year to you.
Jonathan, same to you. Appreciate it.
Some of the throws we watched Andrew Luck make against this Titans defense. How many quarterbacks can make the throws that Andrew Luck can make in this league? It's a short list, right?
Well, I mean, he's a very good thrower of the football. I think when healthy, and I think he's improved significantly as this year has gone on. You know, I think he's probably falls into that top five category in the league, top six. Obviously, people are going to wait to make that kind of judgment, I'm sure, on playoffs. But as a pure talent, he's among the top five or so, for sure.
That first touchdown pass that he had, Paul and I discussed on Monday.
I love that.
There are not many that can make that throw on the move the way he did.
Oh, yeah, rolling to his left. And that was pretty good.
Marcus Mariota, obviously, we've talked about him all year long, awfully inconsistent. How can the Titans, going into his fifth year, build more around the things that he can do to better ensure a successful offense?
Well, I think that raises that's kind of a micro question. I think there's a macro question that goes with that, PK, and that is, what will their offense look like next year? In other words, given what Derrick Henry did down the stretch, is this an offense as they go into the offseason that essentially is going to be built around the running game with Derrick Henry, and that Mariota becomes essentially a complementary quarterback? And you can play that way. There's teams that are in the playoffs that theoretically play that way. The Dallas Cowboys play that way. So you have to decide what will be the foundation of your offense as you're going forward. When all's said and done, almost every quarterback in the NFL, in order to be a higher quality quarterback, is going to have to make throws from the pocket and make throws from the pocket in critical down and distance situations. You can only do so much in normal down and distance, where it's first and 10, second and 4, second and 5, where you kind of control the play calling. All quarterbacks will have to at some point be successful in those longer yardage situations when the defense, in a sense, controls the game situation.
Greg, one of the questions we will be discussing and topics we'll be discussing this offseason is Derrick Henry. Because 6 weeks ago, we were not sure
if he'd even be back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now, based on his play in the month of December, we've all said he should be back. If that's going to be the running back he will be, the question is, does he fit this offense long term in what you've seen and what you expect this offense to be?
Well, let's look at Matt LaFleur, first of all. Let's assume he's back. I know that there's been talk of him interviewing.
He's going Sunday to Green Bay.
Right. I mean, so let's assume he's back for the moment. He came from a Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan background in which backs do carry the ball a lot, but the pass game is very effective. So you look at last year and this year and the amount of carries that Todd Gurley had with the Rams, he's up among the league leaders in number of carries. So the question then becomes, can a Derrick Henry be a Todd Gurley back in an offense that essentially is going to be similar to that? Now, it was not this year, and they may have felt they didn't have the wide receivers for that to be the case, because we know the Rams predominantly line up with three wide receivers. That was clearly not the case with the Titans. So you can do both. You can have a back carry the ball 17, 18, 19 times a game and still have a very effective passing game that works off that as the foundation. But you know, as you started this, then Marcus Mariota is going to have to become more consistent. And I'm talking about more consistent on intermediate and downfield type throws, not deep bombs. You know, I'm not talking about deep bombs, you know, 30, 40, 50 yards down the field. I'm talking about those dig type routes. If you think about the Rams offense, you see a lot of crossers, dig routes. Those are the kinds of throws that are required if you're going to feature the run game and work off that.
Do you, though, I mean, how much of an adjustment for Henry to be in that Gurley role, given his limitations in the pass game?
I don't think that he can run the variety of routes that Gurley can run, but I think that he certainly can be a check down. You know, I don't think you're going to run a lot of wheel routes with him. I don't think you're going to run seam routes with him, but, you know, not every offense has everything. If you believe that Derrick Henry carrying the ball 17, 18, 19 times a game can be a 1,300-yard, 1,400-yard rusher and average, let's say, over 4.5 yards a carry, then that's a foundation back in the NFL, and you can start your offense that way.
The development at linebacker over the course of this year and the way things ended with Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, Wesley Woodyard, and Harold Landry also making an impact late. What do you think about the future of that position with the young talent that they have?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I think Jayon Brown this year really showed an awful lot. The next step and whether they see him this way is whether he becomes a full-time player. I mean, I don't know what Wesley's plan is, you know, to come back. He's obviously played in this league a long time. But, you know, Rashawn Evans, when all said and done, will be a three-down linebacker. And I think he started to show that in the last six, seven, eight games of this season. Brown is phenomenal as a sub-package linebacker. He's really good. He showed the ability to match up man-to-man on either backs or tight ends. He's very athletic in space. He can play zone coverage concepts really effectively. He's not bad against the run. He's just not big, but he's competitive and he's physical. He's just not powerful. So, you know, can he be a three-down linebacker? I think they would like him to be as he progresses.
Greg Cosell with us on the Midday 180. Greg, this season, years from now, on a bio, will be a Pro Bowl year for Taylor Lewan at left tackle. What's your assessment overall as you think back to his season, just top of mind and his productivity there?
To me, I would say he was a little inconsistent given his high-level skill set, because I think skill set-wise, you could argue he's top three or four in the league with his athleticism, his size. But I thought that there were times this year he was just a little inconsistent, particularly in pass pro, because I think he's the guy in this on this O-line that you want to match up one-on-one. You want to set your protection so that you're perhaps sliding the other way, but you want him to be able to be your one-on-one pass protector against quality pass rushers.
Now, setting that up the same way, maybe he ends up going to the Pro Bowl, but Kevin Byard, not a Pro Bowler at this time.
Should be. I think he's the most complete multidimensional safety in the league.
So he over, when it comes to expectations and valued league-wide, it's the opposite for Byard.
Well, Byard, don't forget, Byard was a small school guy, didn't come into the league with a lot of fanfare, wasn't a first or what round was he drafted in?
Third,
right. I was going to say it wasn't a first or second rounder, and I couldn't remember exactly what round. I remember watching him in college. We talked about him when he got drafted, that I loved his college tape. And he's been a two-year starter. I think he's a really good player, but he plays, you know, right or wrong, Tennessee is not a national team in the minds of a lot of writers and social media. I guess you have to say that these days. But I think Kevin Byard is a really, really good player, very multidimensional, can play near the line of scrimmage, can play in the box, can play the run game, can match up man-to-man to tight ends, can play the deep half. I think he's a really, really good player.
Brian Arakpo announced his retirement earlier this week. When you think of his career, even throw the Washington, I know up and down play because of some injuries in Washington, relatively healthy once he got to Nashville. What do you think of his overall career as a whole?
very solid career. I mean, he got drafted, I think, 13th or 14th in the first round by the Redskins. I'm sure the thought was he'd, you know, be a 17, 18 sack guy on a seasonal basis. Didn't quite turn out that way, but I thought, always watching him, that he was a powerful guy, a physical guy, more of a speed-to-power bull rush type player than a true bender, and that may have been the reason he never became a 17 or 18 sack guy, overall, one of those guys, when you look back, you say he had a really, really solid NFL career.
Greg, offensive line play between the Colts and the Texans, vastly different when assessing productivity. Luck doesn't get touched, and Watson's right. been sacked 62 times this season. Wait, other than up front on the offensive line, is there much difference between these two teams? Is that what it comes down to, protection of Watson, or is that just something that's easy to point to because of the number and how different the two teams are in that area?
Well, I think there's reasons why Deshaun Watson gets sacked, and some of it has to do with the offensive line, and some of it has to do with the fact that he holds the ball too long, and at this point in his career does not consistently see what he needs to see from a pressure standpoint. You know, I think that Luck is far ahead of Deshaun Watson in that particular category.
I believe the number is 863. That's the yardage combined for Andrew Luck in the passing game in the two games against Houston this season. Both of the two games very competitive. And
Watson was sacked 12 times in those two games.
Okay. I know that the Texans are treating T.Y. Hilton as 100% healthy. We know he's not, based on what we saw in Week 17, but which wide receiver defensive back battle is more intriguing to you, the Colts against DeAndre Hopkins or the Texans against T.Y. Hilton, based on what you've seen in the two previous matchups?
Well, I'll answer it this way. Neither team is highly man-based in their coverage concepts. Now, that they will play man at times. Everybody does. But both teams are far more zone-based in their coverage concepts. So there's not going to be a specific head-to-head that you look for where you say, here's the matchup, here's the matchup corner. So it won't be exactly like that. I'll give you a player on the Colts that I think is a very intriguing player in their pass game and has become over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and that's the back Nyheim Hines. I think he's become an intriguing matchup player who they line up to the short side of the field, the boundary side, whether he's offset in the backfield or whether he's detached from the formation, but I think he's a difficult matchup.
Philly travels to Chicago. Whenever Wentz returned, we asked you what was different from Wentz to Foles, and you immediately said the ability to push the ball down the field. But now with Foles and the style of the offense with him at quarterback, how are they able to just flip a switch when he enters the game and everything's okay? Or is there much that's different offensively other than the arm strength of Wentz?
Well, you know, last week was a really interesting game for the Eagles because I almost felt like offensively in the pass game they played like a preseason game. Foles literally did not throw many balls beyond 5 or 6 yards in the air from the line of scrimmage. He completed 28 balls for 220 yards. So this is a very difficult matchup for the Eagles when you look at it on film, because the Bears are really good at all three levels of their defense. They have an outstanding pass rush. They're very multiple with their stunt concepts up front, and the Eagles have struggled with the stunts all year. They're very difficult in the secondary to read. They blur the lines between man and zone with a lot of hybrid concepts in the secondary. This is a difficult matchup for the Eagles offense.
We haven't talked much about the Eagles defense.
Yep.
What's Schwartz's defense look like compared to last year, and what do you think they'll try to do against Trubisky?
Well, I think their D-line's really come on as the years progressed, and you know that's an area that they'll have to control the game. The big concern for them becomes Trubisky and his ability to make second reaction improvisational plays, because Trubisky's still not at the point in his career where he's a consistent thrower. Made a number of really big third down throws against the Vikings this past week, but he can be very inconsistent with his accuracy at times. So you have to be careful with your rush, because he can really make plays running with the football. But that's really the strength of the Eagles' defense, is their D-line. Their secondary, I think, is still an area that can be exploited. Whether the Bears do that, that's almost week to week with the Bears, with their ability to throw the ball effectively.
The Bears have been dominant on defense all year. How do the Eagles, and how does any team really deal with Khalil Mack? Explain
Well,
explain the areas where offenses must be sound and to not let him take over and change a game.
Well, Mac lines up on both sides of the defense, so you have to be aware of that first of all. And then you have to decide what tactics you want to use to deal with him in those passing situations where you have deeper drops. Obviously, if it's quick game, it doesn't matter. The ball gets out, and you can single block him. But if you get into longer yardage situations, there's a number of tactics that you can employ. You can slide your protection to him. You can, formationally, you can put a tight end over him, which slows down the pass rush. You can chip him with a tight end or a back. If you slide to him, keep in mind that that creates single blocks opposite him, and then you're dealing with Akeem Hicks and you're dealing with Leonard Floyd, also two very good pass rushers. Hicks is a big-time player inside. So this is a really good defense, and Mac is not the only player that presents a problem.
Dallas and Seattle, Greg, both quarterbacks can move around. Both run games can dominate. They're both 10-6. Both defenses have playmaking ability at linebacker. A lot has changed for both teams since they met in week three. Give us the matchup you're featuring this week on ESPN.
Well, I'll answer it this way. I think the profile of each team is somewhat similar. They're running football teams. They run differently, but they're running football teams. Seattle certainly counts on Russell Wilson to be able to make critical plays in critical down and distance situations. He's done that much of his career. The Cowboys, in a sense, count on Dak Prescott to do that. He's far more inconsistent in his ability to do that, and which is why the Cowboys' offense is very much a week-to-week proposition. I would say that when you look at there's a couple of things. Pass protection, I think, for the Seahawks could be an issue in this game. Their O-line's been very good this year, but they've had injuries. And I think that that's an area in which they're going to have to shore that up. I think for the Cowboys offensively, Jonathan, I think Cole Beasley's a big factor in this game. And believe it or not, and he got a good number of snaps this week, I think Tavon Austin could be a factor in this game because they're going to have to sustain offense throwing the ball at times. And they're going to have to do it when it's 3rd and 6. They're going to have to complete 8-yard balls, not 40-yard balls. So I think those two players could be absolutely critical in this game.
Amari Cooper wasn't on this roster either the last time they played.
No, and he's been very up and down. They don't feature him. He's had a couple of big games, but overall he's not featured. Their pass game is very basic, and it always raises the question. I certainly don't know the answer to this, but when I watch pass offenses and I see when they're very basic in their route design, I think to myself, is that done because that's what the coordinator wants, or is that done because the coordinator believes that's what the quarterback can handle? So I don't know the answer to that, but it's one of those reasons.
Greg, the Ravens continue to survive with the success of Lamar Jackson in the run game, hoping not to die by it as they move forward. And aside from Jackson's athletic ability, where's the area of the Baltimore offense that provides the horsepower for what they're doing each week?
Well, it's really the run game, just what you said, because they have some distinct profiles in the run game. When Edwards is in the game, they tend to run downhill. When Kenneth Dixon is in the game, they tend to run more gap scheme stuff, power, counter, those kinds of runs. Obviously, Jackson presents a huge issue. They're a pistol-based offense. They line up in the pistol, the large majority of their snaps. The Chargers are a dime defense. They play 6 defensive backs almost as their foundation, which may work very well. They've seen them 2 weeks ago. They played week 16. They actually did not do a bad job against the run. Jackson is very inconsistent as a passer at this point. He misses too many throws, but they can rely on their defense, and that's where this game, I think, is a little bit of an issue. Phillip Rivers is a master at being able to compensate for a less-than-stellar offensive line, but he can't do that against every opponent, and I think this opponent will cause them problems.
How has Bosa been in his return? We haven't asked you about him this year.
He's a really good player. You know, I think Joey Bosa is just a really good player. You know, and they've got a pretty good D-line. But, you know, again, this is a game, ideally, where Baltimore's not going to throw the ball a ton. If the game goes Baltimore's way, Jackson will throw 21 balls. You know, I mean, they're not going to drop back 30 or 35 or 40 times.
You mentioned Rivers. He's, again, produced a very good season overall. What is the it factor with Rivers and Wisenhunt as a quarterback offensive coordinator pairing? Why do they have so much success together?
Well, they're very much a vertical-based passing game. You know, they create a lot with crossers, deep crossers, vertical seams. They try to get the ball down the field, and that's the one issue they have, because I think their O-line is not a real good pass-protecting O-line. And as I said, Rivers can camouflage that at times, but there are sometimes he can't. He's obviously not going to move. But they are really good with their route concepts, that attack levels, high-low concepts, levels, you know, short, intermediate, deep, and Phillip will push it down the field.
If I only let you watch one of these live this weekend, which one?
Well, what am I going to be doing the other times?
I don't know.
Watching the draft.
Housework.
You know, I got to tell you, I could be totally off, and I'm terrible at picking, you know, teams and that kind of stuff. But I'm really fascinated by the Colts going forward. And they could easily lose in Houston. I mean, obviously the game week 14 was in Houston and they won. But there's something about the Colts that now really fascinates me. So I'm jumping on their bandwagon.
Get it over with, then you get the rest of the weekend all free.
There you go. It's the first game. Yeah, exactly.
Is there an NFC version of the Colts, the team you don't want to face right now?
I'm sure a lot of people might say the Seahawks, but maybe. You know, look, I think the way they play is really interesting. They control the game on the ground. Their quarterback can make plays when needed, can make those third down conversions, and I think their defense has improved pretty significantly, although they've got some injuries now, which could be problematic.
Greg Cosell, presented by the Huffaker Group, each week with us here on the show. Greg, thank you as always, and we will preview the divisional round with you next Wednesday.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Yep.